Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AECC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Hey, thanks, Jim. We have a very special conversation on the broadcast today featuring an incredibly strong woman, Rachel Faulkner Brown. Walking through grief after losing a spouse or a loved one, yeah, it can seem impossible. Rachel has lived it, not once, but twice, before she was 31 years old. You can only imagine the depth of pain she experienced, and today she's going to share a little glimpse of that journey. With her eyes open twice to the hardship of losing a spouse, God led Rachel to start Never Alone Widows. It's the largest Christian ministry in the United States dedicated to helping widows find community, comfort, and purpose through healing. She's also written two other books, Father's House and a devotional entitled Widow's Might. I hope today's conversation brings comfort to those who have lost a spouse, equips us for rest with tools to love and support the widows in our lives. Rachel, what a delight to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Dr. Tim. It's such an honor to be with you today. What a gift to talk about widows.
Rachel, right after coming out of college, I want people to understand your story and the backdrop of our conversation today. You faced the tragedy of losing your first husband, I think, to a brain aneurysm. You married a few years later, and you lose your second husband to an Air Force plane accident, all by, what, age 31, and you got two kids in tow. Rachel, how did you navigate those early days of trying to make sense of what you can't even make sense of?
Well, as you know, one day at a time, I mean, I was, you know, the biggest thing for me was trying to get up every morning. My mom told me the day that Blair died, she said, honey, if you can take a shower every day and get ready, she was like, you're going to make so much more headway, even with your grief, with your kids, like you're just going to feel better about life. And honestly, it was the best advice anybody could have ever given me. I did that and it made parenting a little bit easier. I was a little bit more prepared for the day. And you know, this is, counselors listen to this, but I was emotionally bankrupt. And so for me, I was just soldiering on. I wasn't doing grief. I was just waving the Jesus banner and you know, grieving with those who have hope, because that was what the word said in 1 Thessalonians, right? That's what I need to do. If I'm a good Christian girl, that's what I need to do. And so that's what I did, but that included for me not feeling a thing. So honestly, it was easier to grieve because I didn't do it. I just soldiered on and just kept going and kept myself busy, which is not hard when you have two little kids.
Which is a grief response, you know, that we're going to talk about that journey and what it was like for you, because I see grief as a journey. But tell us about your kids too, just to introduce them to us. And then obviously we'll have some questions around their journey too, and how you really stepped up and into their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. So Davis is 19. He's a freshman at Auburn, and Campbell is 17. She's a junior in high school. And, you know, it was this month, 18 years ago, that Blue died. And I look at their journey. You know, they were 5 months old and 2 years old when Blair passed away. And, you know, Davis, I think James Dobson wrote the book about him, The Strong-Willed Child. That was for sure my son, 100%. And so, you know, Campbell was just the sweetest little thing. She never even told me no about anything until she was about 5 years old. We had an amazing, you know, dynamic little trio. And honestly, because of the way Blair worked, he was gone a lot of the day. So he left really early in the morning to fly and came home, you know, about 6:30 every day. Well, they went to bed at 7:30. So our life from a, you know, everyday life standpoint didn't change that much when he passed away, because they already didn't see him a lot. And nothing really changed until we moved to Huntsville, Alabama. And that upset the utopia that I had built in Columbus, Mississippi, where we lived. And so that at the end of the day really exacerbated their grief moving, which was good. It was the way it was supposed to happen. We ended up in play therapy, and I'm forever grateful. I didn't know what I didn't know. I'm just so thankful that God knew that we needed Miss Pam, who was in Huntsville, Alabama. And Miss Pam changed my kids' life, let them play it out. And I mean, they still ask to see Miss Pam, and they're 19 and 17, which is kind of amazing and really remarkable.
Rachel, God led you to start a ministry, Never Alone Widows, which has become the largest Christian ministry in the United States dedicated to helping widows find community, comfort, and purpose through healing. Obviously, because you have quite a story, and more we're going to unpack here in just a moment. But stepping back for a second, Rachel, how many widows are there out there? What have you learned about not just your personal walk here, but what have you learned about the world around you and how many people are really going through this? My wife, Julie, hosts events called Extraordinary Women, and she often asks them stand up, those who have lost a spouse or maybe those who have lost a child. And it's shocking to me how many women stand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable. And the average age, Dr. Tim, is 59. Well, that is really young. My husband turns 58 next week. 59 is extremely young. I mean, the 59 is the new 40, let's be honest. I mean, it is 40, you know, is what 60 was years ago. So I think at the end of the day, she doesn't look like what you think she looks like. We always think of the little widows and the shut-ins. They're 80 years old. They've got white hair. They've lived a long life. And she just does not look like that. There are over 11 million widows in the U.S. right now, 2,800 new widows a day. It was 2,500 before COVID, and now it's 2,800. That is a lot of people who've lost a spouse. And you know, I mean, you know this, but 3 to 6 months after a spouse dies is when most people lose their support. And then over 70% of widows have some kind of major health event in the first year after their husband passes away because of the stress. I mean, it's one of the number one stressors on the body is losing, you know, a child, losing a spouse. I mean, it's at the top of the list. So it's a lot more than people think. And I think that's, you know, the reticular activating system of our brain. Obviously mine has been activated to widows, But, you know, when I tell you, hey, I'm going to go buy a white minivan, now you're going to see white minivans everywhere because your system has been activated in your eyes to see those. Well, I want the whole nation, I want the church to have their eyes activated to widows, because if you listen, they're everywhere.
Let's talk about the journey a little bit. I remember early on in my counseling career, Rachel, a woman explained to me how she was hearing these conversations from her friends about how she should go on, you know, that. And she said, you know what, Tim? They go home at night to their husbands. They get to sleep with their husbands. They get to touch them. I don't have anybody. But Rachel, step back and begin to take us down this journey. You explained some of the challenges of what it's like to become a widow. I think a lot of people don't even really think about these challenges, those unique factors that they live with every day in this new life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was young trying to raise two little kids. And obviously, when you have children, nobody wants to do it alone, no matter how you sign up to, whether you adopt or you have them, you just... doing it alone is exponentially harder. But I think the thing that I didn't know, Dr. Tim, was I didn't realize how hard the weekends would be. And, you know, when dads are working and when everybody's at the base, for us as a military family, you know, they're just churning and burning every day. So there's not a lot of dad time. There's not a lot of downtime. It's just go, you know. And for me, I was a stay-at-home mom, having, you know, doing all the things with my other stay-at-home moms. But when the noise of the week stopped and we could have family time and that family was busted and there was no dad there, oh my goodness. And then you layer in, let's go back to church where, oh, by the way, we probably had his funeral. And then church becomes really messy. And that is what I hear more than anything else, especially after COVID, is that going back to church, that has been one of the greatest struggles of widows. You know, if they were already going to church, going back where they had a service. And for me, that was helped because I had these kids who I wanted to be in that environment. I wanted to be in that community. But if you're alone and you're an empty nester and you become widowed, and then you have to go back to that church alone and you're not dragging two little people with you, man alive, it is nails on a chalkboard for a widow. And the weekends, when everybody's supposed to be like hanging out with their friends on Friday night, doing the neighborhood dinners or, you know, date night every Saturday night, whatever it was, all those just get obliterated. And so all those secondary losses just start compiling. And I mean, you know, I mean, the secondary losses sometimes are more impactful, let me say, than the primary loss, just because you know, think about widows with kids and dads with donuts and all the things at school, the daddy-daughter dance. Well, you know, that wasn't even a thing when my husband passed away 18 years ago. Nobody thought of that yet. But now, I mean, it is in these widows' faces all the time. You know, yes, they have muffins with mom, but I'm telling you, dad, donuts with dad, it's insanely painful. And then just the loss at night. I was with a widow, not even a month ago. She just lost her husband. They've been married 30 years. And she said, Rachel, I stand at my sink and eat my dinner because it's too painful to sit down at the dining room table. And I'm like, I get it. I totally get it. You know, you're cooking, your health goes down because you're cooking for one, you're not motivated. You're just picking up more, you're eating worse, you know, not eating. That's another thing too. I mean, there's just, let me count the ways. It's very difficult. It's just very difficult.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Our special guest today is Rachel Faulkner Brown. She's the author, best-selling book, Widow's Might, 365 Days of Strength for Grief and Loss. She's also the founder of Never Alone Widows. It's the largest community, Christian ministry in the United States dedicated to helping widows find community, comfort, and purpose through healing. Rachel, as I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about the ministry and your personal journey, and I'm looking at the devotional here, this Widow's Might devotional, which, by the way, is very beautiful. And I've gone through it, and the hearts that are poured out in here. By the way, it's written by a number of women, right, who actually contributed to this, all widows, trying to, quote, get a message, maybe a lifeline to these women out there who are walking alone in this new season. Rachel, what is it, if you were to say, Tim, this is the one thing that I pray every woman who engages our ministry and this devotional gets, what is that thread? What is it that you're trying to really pour into her heart?
Well, that the goodness of God doesn't change, even though your circumstances may be terrible. I mean, the foundation of our life must be built on the goodness of God, because if he is good, he can't change. He can't be anything else. He can't be anything but love. And so I think at the end of the day, if they read every page and say, if she could pull that kind of treasure out of the darkness and hopefully end up at the place where the word is true, it won't return void, and God is good, that is the win, you know, because the darkness does crazy things to your brain, right? It makes you doubt everything you've ever known about God. It makes you doubt it. And if she can look in this book and find, you know, 365 stories like, oh my gosh, he did it for her. Okay. And they're real stories. These are real women. These aren't like writers. These are just women who God did something and showed them a revelation in the dark place, and they wanted to give it away to another
woman. You know, as I was going through it, I wrote down in my notes, raw. It's raw. It's real. Yeah, it's real. And it's chocked full of life, hope. You know that? Even in the midst of the storm. You know, Rachel, as a part of the journey, people always talk about creating a, quote, new normal. You've got to have a new normal. And they're right. You have to create a new normal. And you don't forget the past. Somehow you make a bridge over this. You don't want to forget, because, like with your kids, you honor their father in this journey. And you, in the midst of it, want to embrace that. And you're also looking to the life before you. And what do we do? How do we engage that? Rachel, how do you, or what did God begin to teach you personally? You've got 18 years of history here, but you were a 31-year-old mom, lost two husbands, and you're trying to think, you know, God, do you hate me? What is it? You know, what's going on with my life? How'd you navigate that? What did you learn about God, I guess?
Well, oh God, how long do we have? I learned that in this world, you're going to have troubles. I honestly thought, Dr. Tim, that because I had lost one husband, nothing really bad was going to happen to me ever again. In this world, we will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. And so I think that's what I forgot, is that, you know, he's overcome the world and he's invited me into a bigger story. But honestly, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I didn't realize that keeping a secret kept me stuck. I thought keeping the secret kept me safe. And so I had a secret that I'd been abused when I was 10, 11, and 12 by a distant family member. And at the end of the day, I just made a deal with God when I was 19 that if I don't tell anyone, because I felt like if I told, it would ruin my family, it changed the dynamic. You know, I would be kind of untouchable because it felt so dirty and awful to me. And I made a deal with God. No, it was a one-sided deal, but I will serve you the rest of my days. I'll do whatever you ask me to do if you just don't make me tell. And he does not make deals like that, because the telling is where he brings in the freedom. And I didn't know that. I'd never seen anyone model vulnerability. I'd never seen, you know, authenticity. You know, I really hadn't seen it in the pulpit. I hate to say it. It was like no one was telling stories about themselves and the wrong things they did. They were just talking about scripture and trying to teach us something. And I never saw the right and the left brain connected in church. I never imagined, you know, what Jesus looked like and that he wanted to hold my hand. I was just trying to pray to this imaginary God and read his word. And so all of that was just, it was toxic. Let me just say that. And so for 25 years, I walked in shame. Well, you cannot live a life of purpose and hope and freedom with shame. I mean, it's just absolutely impossible. And, you know, I always say the reason that I have a ministry today is not because I lost two husbands. It's because I got real with myself. And I told what had happened to me. And I got therapy. I learned to feel. I went to a therapist for 2 years and sat with Lisa. And she said, Rachel, if Jesus were looking over the balcony of heaven, how would he feel about you? I cannot give her one word. You hear this all the time. I was like, do you have like a list of words like that I could look at? And do you know what word I picked on that list? Disappointed. Jesus will be disappointed. That was what I said. And I'm like doing the thing. I'm going to church. I'm singing on the worship team. I'm leading Bethmore Bible studies. I was doing all the things for Jesus to not disappointed, but yet it was never enough. And that's religion. It's never enough. The gospel is enough.
Rachel, you are doing pretty well now. You're remarried. Can you tell us just a little bit about what's happening and really, what's going on in your world?
People always tell me, you have 5 minutes to tell your story. I'm like, I have 3 husbands. That is impossible. So thank you so much for giving me one of them.
You have 30 seconds.
I know, 30 seconds per husband. Yeah, I mean, Rod, honestly, we met through a mutual friend, and he was a pastor here in Atlanta, very healed, had done a ton of work on himself. He was 45, had never been married. So you can imagine, he's asking the questions, why am I not married? And, you know, going to therapy to heal wounds. His dad had died, so he had hurt he had hurt in his history. And I will say that was such a big thing for me, is that I wanted someone to understand the pain of loss. And the third marriage, I will say, I mean, you know, we're like the Four Christmases movie and nobody's divorced. It's like the most unbelievable thing ever. But the third marriage for me, I mean, I was looking for a kingdom carrier. I was not looking for a husband. And as weird as that sounds, I just knew that life is just a vapor. And I want to do this with somebody who is generous. That was one of my main things. I wanted someone who was so generous with their life and what nickel and diamond their life, didn't have an orphan spirit, you know, around their finances, was really, and Rob was giving away 20% of his finances, and he was on a ministry salary. I was like blown away by that. I was like, I don't even know how you live. That's like below the poverty level. And at the end of the day, I mean, he wanted the same things that I did. And God was so gracious to give my kids an amazing dad. He'd never been a dad. He'd never even changed a diaper. But you know what? God just taught him how to be an amazing father because he knew the father. When you know the father, you can be a good father. It wasn't hard for him. He didn't have to work at it, you know?
Rachel, what a delightful conversation today. There's hope. There's life. And I love the but God piece. It's so beautiful. Rachel, if people want to learn more about Never Alone Widows and what's happening, these chapters all over the country, where can they go?
Yeah, neveralonewidows.com. We have 65 chapters and an online chapter if you don't have one in your town. So it's exciting. Yeah, God is just, he is, you know, they say true spirituality, right, is to help the widow and the orphan. And my goal is for the widow to be seen in every church in America.
I love that. And this new devotional, Widow's Might, 365 Days of Strength for Grief and Loss. Rachel, where can they get this devotional?
Yeah, on Amazon, where I know everyone's ordering their books. So, yeah, it's anywhere, Christian book distributors, anywhere you shop, you can find it. Barnes & Noble, all the places.
Rachel, we're going to have you back. That was a fun conversation. What a story. And I love how God is in that story. It's so beautiful. Hey, on behalf of my son, Zach, our entire team here at the American Association of Christian Counselors and our Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we salute you and pray that God would continue to bless you, and especially that ministry, Never Alone Widows. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.